Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America.
Ask not in it what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
So sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
From the Missouri Grassroots Radio Studio, this is Dave Court with the Hour of Truth. My co-host and producer, Lisa Payne Nager. Hey, how you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing just great, Dave. How are you doing this evening on Memorial Day evening?
I'm great. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I need a little bit more time, but yeah, it was great.
You need them to be about four-day weekends, don't you?
Kind of do.
Yep. Know what you mean? Well, I don't really know what you mean. I've had a really good weekend. We have a couple of barbecues and things like that, and neither of them really associated with Memorial Day, which just my brother and his wife come over once a month, and this happened to be the weekend. We eat some food and visit, and every month in the summer, all the kids come over, about 20 or 25 people, and kids and grandkids, and once a month we do that in the summer, and traditionally the first is on Memorial Day weekend, and the last one's on Labor Day weekend. So that was my weekend, and then today I just actually kind of rested. So how do you think the radio's going so far, Lisa? It's our third week here.
Well, I think it's going great, Dave. I think we've had some really great guests, and it's a wonderful opportunity for the Missouri Patriots to vet candidates. I think this Hour of Truth is wonderful. And it's podcasted, so if you can't listen live, you can always listen to it later.
I think so. 507 listeners. What do you think about that?
Well, it's growing.
It's growing.
We need to get out and grow those numbers, but I think that's wonderful.
We do. Listen, callers, it's 347-677-1835. 347-677-1835. 3-5, call, talk to us about the topic of the night, or call and pose a question to one of our guests. We're going to skip the traditional National Minute tonight, Lisa, and we're going to talk a little bit about the day. You know, it's Memorial Day. At dawn on Memorial Day, all of the flags in the United States of America greet the rising sun at half mast. This gives us a chance to remember and mourn those who gave their lives for our freedom. I don't think we can overstate this. If we don't pay the proper respect to these people who paid the ultimate price for the liberty that we enjoy, we risk losing it. If we don't understand fully exactly what our liberty cost in the last over 250 years, I think the life of that liberty is short, and it really touches me to drive around on Memorial Day morning and see those flags all flying at half staff. Now, I don't have any intention of disrespecting your grandma or your cousin or your aunt or your brother or sister, but. I wish people would choose a better day to go out and just decorate graves. I do think that devalues what this day is about. I mean, Grandma's birthday would be a great day to go out and remember Grandma and pay a bit of respect to her. Or, you know, this turning Memorial Day into what I've heard people call Decoration Day, I think that's as much something generated by florists as Mother's Day and Valentine's Day myself. And honest to God, Lisa, I don't mean that disrespectfully to those of us who have passed on at all. And by the same token, I don't mean any disrespect to those of us who served and were lucky enough to come out of that alive. But this isn't our day. This is the day where we celebrate the fact and we remember the fact in reverence that somewhere in an island in the Pacific or a jungle in Asia or a desert in Africa or a forest in Europe, somebody whose name you don't even know gave their life for your freedom. And that's what this is all about. And then something that really just almost brings tears to my eyes, an old seasoned veteran myself, is at noon on Memorial Day when we raise those flags from that half-mast position to full up, and say that not in spite of, but because of the price these people paid, America lives as a beacon of hope for a whole beleaguered world. America stands free and proud and tall. And we're just gonna be quiet for about 15 seconds before we break for commercial and remember exactly what these people gave for our freedom.
Okay, Missouri Patriots, I don't have to remind you that our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape government in the interests of the people. And yet, in most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level, and it's time to send a message to Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City and tell them we have had enough. If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general election and bring a friend. The Constitutional Republic depends on it.
Well, that ad just absolutely gets me steamed every time. I don't know. Who is that? That is one of the foxiest voices I've ever heard.
Haven't heard that one before, but I'll take it.
Oh, thanks, Lisa. That is a good promo. And yeah, I mean, it is primary time. And that's where grassroots patriots cast the deciding vote. This is where we separate the wheat from the chaff on the conservative side of the ticket, and we get the rhinos out, and we get some real grassroots candidates in there. Don't you think?
Oh, I would absolutely agree. And I think you've said it best before, Dave, that it's really the primary. You know, that if we really want to shape the government, I mean, most of us are looking at federal election with candidates that we're not really happy with, and we've done this for the last couple of elections. So really, I mean, this is the primary. This is the time to make your voice really heard and to shape that general election the way you want it shaped.
I agree, and that's what the Hour of Truth is about. We will spend from now till the election in August, August 7th, right? August 7th, I believe, yes, August 7th, and we will spend the time between now and then on the Hour of Truth, Monday and Thursday night, vetting every Missouri state legislative and federal legislative race that has a Republican primary. We'll look at all of the candidates. We'll separate the grassroots patriots from the rhinos. And tonight we're going to talk to Bob Parker. Bob Parker, he's down there kind of in your part of the country, isn't he, Lisa?
Not quite sure.
Yeah, Bob Parker's running against Joanne Emerson. The way we do this, that's for Missouri 8, Missouri 8 in the U.S. House of Representatives. The way we do this is the way we've always done it. We send out in plenty of time an invitation to both candidates. We send the invitation to their contact me email on their website, and that's an email that they'd ought to be reading. That's an email that one of their handlers ought to be looking at every day. And so there's no "we didn't get it" involved there, unless you're saying that we are not reading what people are sending us. And then the first candidate who responds gets the choice of being interviewed early in the hour or late in the hour. And we spend 45 minutes of the hour and a half on each candidate, well, minus this time and a little wrap-up. Joanne Emerson not only refused to come, but just didn't even bother giving us a response at all. Each one is told that we're going to spend time talking about them, whether they choose to participate in that talk or not. Bob Parker has agreed. Now, everyone is sent. We're not here to do gotcha for anybody, either the ones we like or the ones we don't like. So everyone is sent the exact questions that we're going to ask. We don't do anything to compare what they say to their voting record. That is up to you, the voter. Go back and find out if this person is honest with you, and then play along from now until August 7th and use the tool that we have given you rolled into everything else. And that's, you know, we're not only talking about here about vetting candidates and listening to what candidates say and comparing it to other things. I'm talking about everything you hear on Missouri Grassroots Radio, whether it's here on the Hour of Truth or whether it's on Lisa's Culture Vigilante show or Vaughn's Show Me Common Sense, or even on the Friday Night Roundtable when we're just all sitting around talking about things. I see we have a caller. We're sitting around talking about things in general. Don't ever, ever, and not just us. I mean, Neil Bortz, Sean Hannity, the whole lot. Don't ever take anything you hear here or on any other talk show, liberal or conservative, right or left, as gospel truth. You use what you hear and what you're interested in finding out about as a springboard to research the facts and see what's real and what's not real. We will present you everything that I say. I know everything that Lisa says, and I know everything that Vaughn says on these radio shows is something that we've researched and we know in our mind to be a fact. But don't you ever take it just because Dave said, or just because Lisa said, or just because Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh said.
If I say it, okay.
Sure, yeah, go.
I'm just kidding. No, I agree with you, Dave.
Yeah,
I think
I heard
we're
you.
Offering an opportunity here for people to see both sides of every situation and to make up their own mind, and that's what people should be doing, using
right.
their critical thinking skills to make those decisions.
And the things that we bring up here, you should definitely use as a springboard to go and find out what's going on. And usually, when I say something, I'll say, and, you know, go Twitter this. Go Twitter this phrase here. This is the phrase that I use to find this myriad of propaganda or research that told me or convinced me that this is true. And I'll give you two or three things to Google or two or three things to look up. Hey, look, Bob Parker's here. We're going to go ahead then and start with him. I told Bob when we chatted today that Joanne Emerson had refused to come on the show, and so I gave him – he had, of course, picked the latter part of the hour, and everyone who comes in first with the right to pick chooses that, but – I told him Emerson's not coming, and he could come in at any time he wanted to, and he could even ramble a little bit more than we usually allow. So we're going to be a little bit more free. I was going to say we're going to be a little bit more liberal with that tonight, but we're certainly not going to be liberal at all. We're going to be a little bit more free with our time, and then we will be sure and cut Bob off with enough time for us to talk about Ms. Emerson and all of the reasons why she quite likely did not want to be on a grassroots, small government, fair tax radio show. And there are, I'm sure we'll find out, ample reasons for that. Hey, Bob. Okay, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave. Good to be with you.
Great to have you. So you're running for Missouri 8 against Joanne Emerson. Have you run for office before, Bob?
Oh, you know, I've served on several boards and things here, school boards, stuff like that, but not any big offices like this. This is, like I say, this isn't my first rodeo. This is the first real big rodeo, though.
And what's your background in government then?
Well, my background basically is in the private sector. I've had a farm for many years, for about 36 years here in Texas County in southern Missouri, and had a dairy farm for years. I currently run beef cattle. I've been a realtor for the last 10 years or so. I sold my dairy farm in 1998, and I've been a realtor ever since then, and like I say, running beef cattle, and I buy and sell properties, mostly farm and ranches and hunting properties, and maybe develop them, fix them up, and resell them. So I've been doing some of that. No, I'm not a professional politician. I'm just someone that's seen our government run amok, and I think it's finally time to get people that actually understand what it is to work a job out here in the real world and deal with the regulations and the taxes and everything else that people out here in the real world are dealing with, and get somebody in Washington that understands that.
Well, yeah, not only have you seen it, but if you've been a farmer and now a realtor, you've paid the price. You've paid the price of this government intrusion.
Well, yeah, and you know, that's really why I got out of the dairy industry, because of the imports and the regulations, and it just seemed like you know, the regulators and our government is just so out of touch with what we deal with, you know, that they, you know, import more and more milk products and destroy our market, and, you know, our inputs get, you know, higher and higher all the time. And you know, frankly, how can you continue doing business with that kind of an environment? And, you know, we've seen the dairy industry devastated here in Missouri and across the country, you know, going to bigger and bigger dairies. And, you know, we've seen the consolidation of agriculture all across the country. It's just not profitable for the small farmers to stay in business. And, you know, I think that has really hurt our country. You know, we're frustrated on many levels with just the people in Washington have just lost touch with the average person out here trying to make a living, and I have that understanding. I mean, I know where jobs come from. I know where wealth comes from. It comes from people out there in the real world producing and farming and mining and doing manufacturing and adding value to those products and things like that. That's what makes America strong and prosperous. It's not more and more government jobs at the expense of the private sector, and we've got to turn that around in this country.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more than that. I'm huge into this buy local thing. I go to the farmer's market, and I've got a couple of people there. I buy raw milk. I make my own butter, and so I've
right.
seen firsthand. I'm not a farmer. Never have been, but I've seen firsthand the price that these farmers pay for what the government is doing.
Well, and a huge threat to what you're talking about is the animal identification program that I fought for many years, where they want to register my farm, they want to made a computer chip all my animals, and then do all the tracing and reporting that's required, and it'd just be devastating to small farmers. And it will dry up that local food source that you have. So that's there's a lot of issues affecting small farmers and locally grown food. And you know, if we don't turn this around, it's going to be not produced and be illegal or too hard to comply with all the
absolutely
requirements.
Absolutely, and the thing that's criminal about all that, Bob, is that those things that are designed, I'm using a strong word there when I say designed, to put the small farmer out of business, those things that are designed to put the small dressmaker out of business, those things that are designed to keep a small guy from getting into the business of creating or inventing a cure for some disease, those things are lobbied and created by the big. It's this. It's part of this capitalism. This crony capitalism, corporate Washington revolving door culture. The Monsantos and the ConAgras
right.
are pushing this stuff to do just exactly what you said.
Well, you're exactly right, and frankly, we're fighting for our lives out here in rural America. I mean, we're being devastated by a lot of these things that you're talking about. And, you know, I talk about Agenda 21 quite a bit these days, trying to get people to understand the correlation between what happens with the United Nations Agenda 21 programs and how they're being implemented all across the spectrum in small towns and counties all across rural America to our big cities, all the sustainable development, sustainable farming, sustainable, you know, everything, sustainable education. I mean, it's infiltrating our complete system. And you know, free markets really, you know, and our freedom to use our property and our land in the way that we want to is really under attack like we've never seen before. And they've really, you know, gone around a lot of our elected officials by, you know, their regional governments and, you know, all the agencies, the federal and state agencies. And when you talk to your congresswoman or congressman or, you know, your county officials, many times they don't even know what you're talking about. But a lot of these programs are being implemented through the agencies, and they're really not aware of the big picture.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. In fact, I'm just going to digress here for a moment, but here on Missouri Grassroots Radio, we have a different thing every night. Of course, this is our hour of truth, and we're doing from now till August exactly what you and I are doing right here with all the Republican candidates we can get a hold of. But we're going to add an hour a week from a person who is very knowledgeable about Agenda 21, and we are very, very behind the curve on this Agenda 21 thing, Bob, and we need to get some education going on this, and we need to get some people asking questions, and we need to get some people recognizing this Agenda 21 as it creeps into their counties and cities.
Well, exactly. You know, Henry Lamb was one of the pioneers in exposing Agenda 21. He just died last week, but you know, he created the Freedom 21 organization to help expose Agenda 21. And I knew Henry and was at several meetings where he spoke. And you know, there's several. You know, Russell Wood here with the Ozarks Property Rights Congress. He helped a lot exposing Agenda 21. Tom DeWeese, another huge fighter and exposer of Agenda 21. People can get online and research those people and see what they're doing. And if they've never heard of Agenda 21 and those programs, it will absolutely be a shocker when they see what's really going on.
Absolutely. This crony capitalism that we talked about just moments ago that really is affecting everything that we do in this country today is really, really apparent in the tax code. Conservative grassroots patriots have long said the tax code has got to go. And most of us want to move to a flat tax or fair tax. What do you think we'd ought to do about the tax code, Bob?
Well, I like a consumption kind of a tax, you know, similar to a fair tax. There's some things in the fair tax that I would like to research more. I'm not sure I'm quite on board with everything, but I think that approach is definitely where we need to head. We have to get rid of the IRS and all of the, you know, the stuff in the tax code. Who can even understand it? I know my tax person that does my taxes. They tell me they're like, you know, Bob, you have one of the most complicated tax returns we do. And it's, you know, I'm not a big businessman. I'm just involved in several different businesses because down here in the Ozarks you kind of have to diversify. And so I do a little, you know, some land buying and selling on the side, run cattle, and I do have a hunting, you know, deer and turkey hunting operation here, just kind of a little sideline and, you know, two or three other little things that I do. So, you know, it kind of gets complicated keeping track of all that, and it kind of drives my tax people nuts. But, you know, You know, and you just, you know, and I'll just say it here. Maybe there's an IRS guy listening, but I don't think anybody that has any kind of a complicated return, you know, anybody from the IRS could audit your return and find things that they didn't like. You could probably have several different people audit it, and they would find different things. And that, I just think that's so wrong in this country that we don't. It's so complicated; nobody can really understand it. So I think it needs to be simplified and I think it needs to be broadened out. I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't paying taxes, you know, and I think everybody should be paying their fair share.
Absolutely, I agree. And drawing that back to the crony capitalism thing that I've talked about, the current tax system is designed specifically to say, okay, we like green cars, so you don't have to pay taxes, and we don't like SUVs, so you have to pay heavy taxes, or we don't like, and basically it is a way for the government to control you. The current tax structure is about control.
Exactly,
as much as revenue.
And, you know, I just don't think it's working. I don't think it's how America is supposed to work. I don't think it's how our Constitution is, what our Constitution lays out as this crony kind of, you know, they used to call a blending of business and government fascism, you know, and that's really what it is. There's different levels of it, but, you know, we need free markets. Markets need to be free. There needs to be some oversight, but the overregulation that we have in our markets, you know, with the green regulations, environmental regulations, and things that are happening, is just out of control. I really think these people are using these kinds of things to really destroy our free market, capitalistic kind of society that we have. And you know, it's kind of the order out of chaos thing. When this thing collapses, I think they're going to have an answer. And it's going to be more and more government to step in and control everything else that's left. And I see that happening. I think, you know, a lot of us, a lot of people, you know, maybe thought people like us that are, you know, or like me that talked that way, you know, a few years ago. Now they're realizing, you know, something is very wrong with the way our government's doing business. You know, something is broken in this country. And we really have to turn that around and get people, I think, in government that will start taking us back the direction that our founders envisioned, instead of, you know, trash the Constitution and go into a European style of socialism or worse.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lisa and I do on the Hour of Truth, we do a little intro twice a week that we call the National Minute. And the last three times I've played a little audio that is some lady saying that she wants to get rid of capitalism and replace it with socialism. And as the conversation goes on, it is apparent that, like most people in her position, she has no clue what socialism even is. I mean, you can't be a little bit socialism any more than you can be a little bit pregnant.
And you know, people don't understand. You know, this country has created the most fantastic economic system this world's ever seen. We've become the most prosperous nation on the face of the earth, you know, by being free and being able to enjoy the fruits of your labors. That will not, go along well with socialism, where, you know, people, you know, where you produce it and other people enjoy the you know, fruits of your labor. The way people are wired, that won't work. And it won't work in this country, and that's why we're seeing our jobs, you know, and our economy, I think, really shut down in a way we haven't seen in my lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely, and it need never be forgotten, and should never be forgotten, in my opinion, that for all of the complaining and whining that goes on from our neighbors in the world, it is that prosperity you mentioned that has pulled this entire world from the brink of destruction at least two times.
No, exactly, and it's had such a good impact, a good and decent impact on our society and our friends. You know, this prosperity that we've developed, and we've done that by individual liberty, you know, by a constitution that protects those God-given rights, and you know, now that we, you know, are prosperous and have, you know, fantastic wealth that many could only dream about, now we have the socialists moving in wanting to redistribute that. And you can't find any example across the globe where they've ever done that, that things turned out well. You know, if you look at any country that ever got went into socialism / communism, Marxism, it ends in revolution. It ends with a bunch of dead people and you know, famine and shortages and economic collapse. And, you know, I don't know where they're a good example where this, you know, where this wonderful utopia that they're trying to get us to, where that is.
That's absolutely right.
It's going to be a disaster for us.
And the socialists, even the socialists who are trying to convert this country right now, know, the ones that want the power, they know full well when they start out that sooner or later, and you can look at Greece today. I mean, you needn't look back in history. You can look at Greece. You can look at Italy. You can look at Spain. You can look at those places right now. You can look at the euro right now. And you can see that sooner or later, when someone has to say, I'm sorry, we don't have any money left, you can't have that thing that you've come to count on us for, there's going to be big trouble. And it's not going to be from the people who've always said liberty is the way to go. It's going to be from the big trouble for them, from the people who've become dependent on their socialist government.
Well, you know, you're exactly right. And I think, you know, as I go around this district talking to people, and I'm sure you talk to them too, I mean, that's our fear, that there's so many now that are relying on the government. I just saw a thing on TV earlier today, and they were talking about how, you know, half of the people in this country are, you know, getting some kind of check from the government. And, you know, with the debt and the deficit spending that's going on in this country, I don't see any way that we can continue this kind of a, you know, this kind of an expense to fund all this. And, you know, there's going to be a correction. I mean, you know, we're going to face economic reality pretty soon. Mark her down. I mean, tape this program and mark down what Bob Parker said. There's going to be a day of reckoning, and it's probably not going to be too long. We're going to see some very serious problems, just like Greece and these other countries you're talking about. And, you know, the sad thing is where we could have, you know, in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, we could have started turning this thing around and getting the government off the backs of businesses and shut down these regulators that are, you know, just after every businessman or trucker out there trying to make a living, and really get this economic engine running again. I mean, we're losing time. We've lost so much time, and we've lost so much opportunity to correct this. And you know,
we are.
You know, we are at the brink of an abyss here financially. We cannot,
yes.
You know, we can't borrow 43% of the money that we spend. As a businessman who's had a business all my life, I have to balance my budget on my farm and my business. It's got to work, and America has to work. That budget has to come together. We can't spend like this, and it will not have a good ending. Mark her down.
That's right, absolutely. And not only that, but since we didn't start 4 or 5 years ago, the turnaround is going to be hurtful now. It is really, and let's don't kid anybody, it's going to cause some pain.
It's going to cause some pain. I think it's going to cause quite a bit of pain, and I really, you know, that's why I've been so frustrated, Dave, over the last several years. They continue to raise the debt limit and continue to spend. And I know many of us that have been conservatives, fiscal conservatives, have just seen the madness with these people that, you know, it's all about getting through the next election, you know, keeping people happy, buying votes with taxpayer dollars. But we are really coming to the end of that. And one concern I have is the people that get elected next time, you know, whether for president and Congress, whatever, when that real turnaround begins to happen, you know, I really hope that they don't get the blame to be the ones that were, you know, they got the drivers, they got the wheel handed to them right before they hit the brick wall, you know.
Yeah.
They weren't the ones that were speeding 150 miles an hour, you know, when they handed it off, you know, just a few yards before they hit the wall. And so I hope people, you know, I hope people understand that there's going to be some very serious rebooting taking place in this country in the next few years. And that's one reason I'm running for Congress, is because I think when those kinds of things, you know, we need to turn this around. I want to be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. I want to go back to freedom instead of go into socialism and Marxism. I want to get America back to being free.
Well, speaking of getting back to being free, here's Lisa. Lisa is my co-host and producer. Lisa, this is Bob Parker.
It's great to hear you, Bob. I like your philosophy. I want to kind of shift gears here a little bit and then talk about education. It's not working. We all know that education in this country is failing miserably, and it costs a lot of money. And there's been a lot of initiative to reform education in the state legislature and across the country with Race to the Top. And that hasn't been very well received by a lot of people either. There are a lot of being proposed by the Republican legislature. So, do you have any ideas on how to improve the state of education and keep costs in line with what's reasonable?
Well, I'm running on the, you know, for federal office here, so we'll be talking about the federal level. I think we need to get rid of the Department of Education. I think it should be turned back to the state and the local school boards. I wasn't in favor of No Child Left Behind when that was voted in. And Mrs. Emerson, who I'm running against, voted for that, which nearly doubled the size of the Department of Education. I think that's a failed approach. It costs too much money. While there are some good programs in those programs that were created, I think there is a good one or two in there. I think we need to get rid of the Department of Education, turn that money back to the states and back to the local school boards, and address it on that level.
Could we not turn money back to the states and just let the states keep it to start with?
Sounds good to me.
Go ahead,
Lisa. Sounds good to me. I think we're going to see a time where the states are going to stop sending all that money to Washington, D.C., the way they're wasting it and spending it. You know, there's probably going to be some real states' rights issues coming up in the future. You know, and, you know, we talk about taxes. You know, they continue to raise taxes in ways. And look at the way they waste the money. Look at the way they spend the money. It doesn't work. So, you know, we need to keep that money at home instead of filtering it through Washington and getting a little bit back. I think we'd be a lot better off keeping it in our pockets, not only on the state level, but on the individual level.
I see from Lisa waving her hand over there that she wasn't done yet. Go ahead, Lisa.
I didn't think she was.
But I won't do that too. So anyway, on a national level, I don't know if you're familiar with the Race to the Top initiative from Arne Duncan and the Obama administration. All of the initiatives, their idea of education reform, their version of No Child Left Behind, and the Common Core standards that go into that, and all of the regulation that comes from on high, national mandated standards from going across the country. And I don't know if you've had an opportunity to go to the Homeschooling United website and look at the Educational Freedom Pledge there. We are kind of asking candidates how they feel about that pledge and if they're interested in endorsing that or not. Have you had an opportunity to look at that?
No, I haven't had an opportunity. That's one thing I haven't. The Race to the Top, I've heard about it. I haven't done a lot of research that. I do definitely support homeschoolers and would always work to protect the right to homeschool your kids. That's a very strong belief of mine. And God bless everybody out there that wants to homeschool their kids. And I know lots of homeschooled kids that I think are just excellent students and just excellent principled people. And so I would do everything I could to, support homeschooling.
We're kind of interested in making sure, on not only on a state level, but a national level, that candidates are opposed to the federal mandates that go along with the educational reform that they're pushing about there. So can you speak a little bit about how you feel?
Well, I'm not in support of any federal mandates in education. I don't see anything in the Constitution that says the Federal Department of Education should be involved in education. I don't see it. I think they should be disbanded. As far as all the mandates that they're putting on you, I think it should be completely done away with.
All right. Good answer.
Bob, it's great. We conservatives sit around here and we talk about dumping Obamacare, but you know, there's not any getting around the fact that that for a mother of four, a single mother of four who's got a $15 an hour job somewhere, health care for her children is a day-to-day issue, and we're not going to be able to sweep that issue under the rug just by saying we're going to repeal Obamacare. Are you in favor of repealing Obamacare, and if so, what do you think we should do?
Well, I'm in favor. Yes, I'm 100% in favor of repealing Obamacare. I think we have to repeal Obamacare. I think Obamacare will destroy our health care system as we know it. We'll have limited care. They'll pick and choose who will receive care, and I think the cost of care will continue to increase astronomically, which we've seen. But, you know, are there problems in our healthcare system? Sure, certainly there's problems. But I think we have to look to private market-driven solutions to those problems instead of, you know, big government solutions to those problems. And I'm certainly wanting to be a part of, you know, looking into solutions in our healthcare. But I think a lot of it is government needs to get out of the way instead of mandating and forcing people to do this and that. I think it should be that there shouldn't be some oversight and some regulations, of course, in certain areas. But I think, you know, kind of like Ronald Reagan said, you know, more government's not the answer. It's the problem.
Let's talk about the Second Amendment. Do you feel like the federal government has any business in doing anything to control firearms or to define what arms are?
Well, I mean, I'm a big Second Amendment guy. I'm a gun guy. I'm a hunter. I have some guns. As a matter of fact, I shot one of my guns some today. I just, you know, but I think the approach that we can regulate guns with law-abiding citizens to protect us from gun crime and that kind of stuff is ludicrous. We know criminals don't follow the laws, and the Second Amendment is all about having an armed populace where they can protect their families and protect their freedom. And so I really think we have to really change the approach that we have as, more and more regulations on firearms. And, I mean, I support concealed carry and, the Second Amendment. Of course, I would have to look at specific proposals and things to know, which side I exactly what we were talking about. But basically, I'm a freedom guy. I think we need to get, the Second Amendment talks about, freedom to own firearms and have firearms, and it doesn't really put a lot of limits on that.
It doesn't put any limits on it, in my opinion. But But listen, I mean, when that was written, people were stuffing a ball down the muzzle of a rifle and putting a wad of paper in it. Do I have the right to build an atomic bomb in my basement?
I don't, they've taken the approach, to limit it to hunting types of firearms for the most part. They don't want you to have automatic weapons, tanks, howitzers, those kinds of things, So, while I think some of those might be handy in the future, I don't know. I don't know how far we can, get on that level. But
fair enough. Is St. Jen in your district?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. I got a Terry here from St. Jen. He wants to ask you a question. And I don't know what it is, but let's put him on here.
St. Jen guys are good questions askers.
Hey Terry, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine tonight, Dave. How are you?
Bob's here. You had a question for him?
Yeah, I want to thank Bob for appearing tonight. I really enjoy what he's got to say. I've got a question for him, though. I've been involved now with an organization, a coalition of groups, the St. Genevieve Conservatives, the St. Francis County, We the People, the Perryville Tea Party, and the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, trying to sponsor a debate between Congresswoman Emerson and Bob Parker. St. Genevieve County is new to the 8th District. We've had Russ Carnahan for many years, which we're extremely glad to get rid of. And we were looking forward to a new congressman. And as we went about searching the differences between Ms. Emerson and Mr. Parker, we felt that we needed to have some questions answered about policies and past history. And we had just been getting stonewalled by Mrs. Emerson to debate Mr. Parker. And I was just wondering, Bob, do you know why she's refusing to debate you?
Well, yeah, she's you know, she's refused to debate me for 4 years. I've asked several times, basically she doesn't want me to expose her record. She doesn't want to get on a stage with me or on a radio show with me and talk about her record and you know, being married to a union ex-lobbyist and a union boss, and you know, her daughters are lobbyists, one for Monsanto, one for GM, who she bailed out. She doesn't want to talk about her tarp bailout boats, and you know, there's lots of things in Mrs. Emerson's record that she's, you know, running from. It's just like this program here. She refused to come on and you know, have, you know, talk about these kinds of things. You know, be afraid that somebody's going to be taping the program and playing it in a commercial or on a radio ad at some time. So she's really in full retreat, just hoping she can make it through the August 7th election again. And we're working hard to make sure that she doesn't make it through that August 7th primary again, because, you know, frankly, we are tired of people that talk like they're conservatives back home and then go to Washington, D.C. and vote for all the things that destroy our freedom and spend all of our grandkids' money. And that's why I'm running, Terry.
Well, I appreciate it, Bob. And the only thing I can tell you is just go get her. Okay. Thank you for your service and your purpose to run to represent the citizens of the 8th District.
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate your efforts up there, too.
Thanks. Good night.
Thanks for the question, Terry. That was a good one. Well, can you hang out for a minute, Bob? We gotta pay some bills here, and we'll be back in about 15 seconds. Can you hang on with us?
Sounds good.
All right, thanks.
Jobs, taxes, traditional family values, education, protecting the unborn, Second Amendment, tort reform. These are the issues facing Missourians today. Hi, I'm Terry Varner. As your next state senator, I will continue to work to change government by preserving our liberties, reining in wasteful spending, and making the state of Missouri responsive to its citizens. I am a pro-life constitutionalist who believes our state and federal constitution are there for protection of overreaching government. I firmly believe that only by ignoring those documents has the government at all levels been able to trample on the liberty of its people. I would appreciate your vote this August 7th. I'm Terry Varner, and I approve this message.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
All right, we're here to turn that tide. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. We're talking to Bob Parker. Bob will be facing off against Joanne Emerson for the race for the representative seat in Missouri 8. It's 347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835. We'll let you come on, ask us a question, ask Bob a question. All 507 of you out there tonight, be getting on the phone, be getting on the email with Ms. Emerson and find out why we can't have this debate. There's no reason why someone who's been up there for 8 terms now hadn't ought to be willing to come forward and stand on her record, don't you think, Bob?
Well, Dave, you know, she said a few months ago, she said on the front page of the Southeast Missourian in Cape Girardeau, the biggest paper in the district, she said I wasn't a credible candidate. I got 35% of the vote last time in my first run 2 years ago, and we're probably running pretty close to neck and neck, if not worse, for Mrs. Emerson. I think I am a credible candidate. I've worked hard We have, you know, thousands of supporters across the district. We've got, you know, nearly 60 area coordinators working in their areas, organizing people in their areas. We've got signs up all across the district. We've got a lot of stuff on the internet. You can Google, you know, Bob Parker, Joanne Emerson. You're going to find tons of stuff on the internet, lots of new videos on YouTube about the race. And I am a viable candidate. As a matter of fact, I think I've got a real good shot to beat Mrs. Emerson in the primary. And the last thing she wants people to understand is her voting record, because she has done an excellent job of fooling the voters and deceiving the voters in this district. She is a big government Republican, you know, Republican in name only in many circumstances and on many issues. And as I expose that and explain to people who I am and what a passionate, hardcore fiscal conservative that I am, it, you know, people support me. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm a pro-life Christian. I'm pro-life from conception to natural death. And, you know, I've been a Christian since I was 18 years old. I'm 54 right now. And, you know, I've lived that kind of a life and just worked hard in my own business. But, you know, frankly, it's time for patriots to, you know, leave their businesses and their farms and go to Washington, D.C. to straighten this mess out that these people have created.
Okay. I want to be fair with everyone out there in the listening audience now, 507 people listening to this, Bob, and let everybody know that that caller was Terry Varner. Terry is we did this wasn't a setup. I didn't know Terry was going to call in and ask that question, but Terry's part of the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, our parent coalition here at Missouri Grassroots Radio. It was a legitimate question. I don't think it was a bad idea for Terry to call and ask it. And Terry does have quite a bit of time he spent. He is at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Terry is the head of the Missouri Grassroots Debate Coalition, a coalition that goes around the state trying to get these debates together. So he spent some time. He knows what he's talking about. He spent some time trying to get Ms. Emerson to the table. Terry's running against Romine, Mr. Romine over there, for a seat in Jefferson City. But that's a good thing. It was a good question. It was great to hear from you, Terry. And I want to say that because right. everybody needs to know that.
Well, I just want to say something about a debate. I mean, is it so unusual to have a primary debate? I mean, we've had how many presidential primary debates?
Absolutely
we have?
Not.
You know, we have primary. That this is fundamental to our process, Dave. I mean, to have primary debates where people can talk about their policies, their stand on the issues, and where they can talk about the voting record of the incumbents and where they can find out the truth.
Well, absolutely. And you know, Lisa and I, we come here every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday night together, and we have said, both of us, isn't that right, Lisa, that this country will be turned around or not based on what we do in these primaries, because it is our party. It's our party that is, I mean, you talked about a couple of things here, the GM bailout and TARP, but it was our party, including Ms. Joanne Emerson, who caved on this NDAA thing. It was our party, including Ms. Joanne Emerson, who gave the president another $2.5 trillion. And so it is the primary. It is the primary, and that's why we are vetting and looking to get debates going so that grassroots patriots, constitutional Americans can turn their government around at the Republican primary.
Exactly right. You know, that NDAA vote, too, that Mrs. Emerson voted for, along with many of the Republicans in Congress, which allows for the indefinite detainment of Americans on American soil, which she denied that it did that, had a federal judge, about a week ago, say that was unconstitutional. They need to look at that again. You've got several states now doing amendments to stop that indefinite detainment provision. But yet Mrs. Emerson's position is, no, we're all wrong. It didn't have that in that bill, which is absolutely ludicrous at this point. And I'll just tell you this. About a week ago, she started attacking me because I supported that Smith-Amish amendment that would strip those provisions out of the 2013 NDAA bill. And now she's saying I'm siding with Nancy Pelosi and the Islamic extremists and the ACLU. I mean, this is how outrageous it has become with these professional politicians you know, now upholding the Constitution, she's got on the bottom of this flyer, Parker's views are dangerous to America. I'm dangerous to America because I want to uphold the Constitution and not indefinitely detain Americans. That's how crazy this has become.
That's absolutely right, and that's why that's right back to where I started with this, and that is Grassroots Coalition Radio listeners, you will decide at the primary. By the general election, folks, it's a no-brainer which way we're going to vote. You will decide the future of this country at the primary elections on August 7th.
And the choice could never be clearer. I mean, you know, if you look at this race, look at my positions, look at who I am, look at my background, look at what I'm saying, and I've got a lot of that on my website, which is electbobparker.com. By the way, I'm also on Facebook. They can get on my site on Facebook. I put a lot on there. But check it out. I mean, the choice has never been clearer. And I just tell the people in this district, you have been lied to, you have been deceived by Mrs. Emerson. She has not told you the truth. The media has not told you the truth about her voting record.
That's absolutely right. Speaking of TARP, Bob, speaking of debt ceilings, we have spent literally trillions of dollars chasing jobs in this country, and month after month after month, even though the fudged numbers of unemployment keep looking a little bit better, the true jobless people, the people in America without jobs, keeps going up and up and up every month. What are we doing wrong here, Bob? What do we need to do to make this work?
Well, we've got to get government off the back of business. We really do. We have to really fundamentally look at the way these regulatory agencies are destroying our business in this country. That's a big part of it. Another big part of it is these free trade deals that were set up, NAFTA, CAFTA. Mrs. Emerson voted for CAFTA and many of these other free trade deals that we're doing. And while there are some parts of those that are good, you know, a lot of that is bad, and a lot of that really lets those other countries, you know, set up manufacturing plants and get financing and things to really take our jobs away from us. So it's really the devil's in the details. It sounds good, this free trade and open and free trade, but that's not really what it is. It really sells us out, and I don't have time to go into all the ways that it does that, but that's another thing. We've got to get those jobs back in this country. We've got to produce things here. We've got to manufacture things. We've got to have a prosperous agricultural sector. We've got to have property rights here in this country. And we can't have these, you know, environmental laws that have just run amok, that have, you know, like Blake Hurst with the Missouri Farm Bureau said the other day, said you're going to have a permit to start up your tractor pretty soon. And that's really just about how true it is. I mean, it's just the regulatory onslaught and overload on farmers and businesses is just out of control. We can't import everything into this country and then just borrow money from China to pick up the slack. It won't work.
I don't know if those people out there who are non-farmers like me, just to throw in one example of what you're talking about, it will now be illegal under the new child labor laws for your 12-year-old kid to drive the tractor on your farm.
Well, exactly, and you know, I grew up on a farm. I understand what it is to be a 12-year-old kid out there working on the farm, and I'm trying to think of what age I started. It was about then that I started driving a tractor, you know, by myself, out plowing the fields. It wasn't too long after that, probably 14 or so, 13, 14. You know, I drove a combine when I was in my young teens. If you don't teach kids how to work when they're young, I mean, I had a dairy farm. My two girls learned to work on the farm, and it's because of that work ethic that they have. They've been very successful. One of them's a doctor. The other one is, you know, works in pharmaceuticals. But they're because of that work ethic. They learn how to work when they're young, and it's just absolutely crazy. I mean, this is how out of touch these people have gotten, and I'm not even sure if we can blame it on out of touch. I almost think at this point it's an intentional takedown of our country, and we've got to fight and stop it.
Oh, yeah, my kids call me a conspiracy theorist, but I'm convinced it's an intentional takedown. I'm absolutely convinced, and that's why I'm over the top now. I believe that we are fighting for no less than the future of our country, and that in four more years, if we don't do the right thing right, this is the most important election in the history of the United States, in my opinion.
I agree with you 100%. I think if we don't really turn some things around this year at the voting booth, you know, where we go from here is uncharted waters, and it's horrifying. And more people are understanding what a serious situation we're in, and we have to get people in Congress that will really begin to fight back and turn this thing around. And that's what I want to do. I know one person can't do it all, but I heard somebody the other day that said, well, have you ever been in a tent at night trying to sleep and there was one mosquito in there?
Right.
And I want to be a mosquito in Washington. I want to make enough noise that I really bother those people up there.
Right. That's absolutely right. And you know, I'm gonna digress here for just about 20 more seconds, and then Lisa's got a question. Lisa, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, but she does have trouble being quiet for more than an hour, so I've got to let her ask another question here. 347-677-1835, callers, 347-677-1835. I shouldn't have said that because I forgot where I was. What's the last thing you said, Bob?
I was talking about a mosquito buzzing around in the tent.
Well, that didn't work for me.
That probably didn't help.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. Well, you, Bob, you get it. Obviously, you understand the grassroots movement, and you understand the urgency of what we're dealing with as far as
exactly,
this election
through
the country. But so, and you've already touched on this. I don't want to be redundant, but I just kind of want to give you a minute to kind of explain just the general big picture in your eyes, what limited government means to you. And when you get to Washington, what considerations should be made to put personal liberty in the forefront when you are evaluating legislation?
Well, I think on the federal level, it's really, you know, go by the Constitution, what's authorized, specifically authorized in the Constitution. And I think we've gotten away from that for many, many years. And so that's the first thing I would look at, is it constitutional? Is there constitutional authority for it? Was that the intent of the founders? And I think if you look at, you know, a lot of the agencies were created under executive orders. If we want those agencies, they should have done them in some kind of a congressional action, constitutional action, instead of, so you just have to look at those kind of fundamental things. And I just think Washington has grown way so far outside the Constitution, we can't even really recognize what our government is and isn't supposed to do anymore. So that's really, I think, one of the, you know, turn it back to the states on those issues that aren't specifically authorized in the Constitution, because that was the intent of our founders, to have a limited federal government. Our federal government now knows no limits.
Well, that's absolutely right, Bob, and I'm preaching to the choir here with these people that we're talking to out here tonight, and I know that, but the thing that just really gripes a constitutional conservative is that a clear 75% of all the quote-unquote law that we live under is law made by some bald-headed, glasses-wearing bureaucrat in a room deep inside a building somewhere in Washington, D.C., with no windows in it, and nobody ever voted for this guy or this guy's boss.
Right, exactly. And, you know, we have, and not only on the federal level, but on the state level, too, and it does just drive me crazy, you know, dealing with state agencies also, you
yes.
know, that, you know, dealing with my dairy farm and things like that. I never was wrote up. I was never fined or anything like that. But I just saw the potential down the line for just to have, like you say, some bald-headed guy wearing glasses, you know, in some room somewhere that was never elected, has no accountability to anything, and yet he can regulate me and fine me out of my business. And you know, it's, you know, my only recourse is to hire attorneys and spend what little money I have left trying to fight it. And, you know, and that's the fear. People don't understand. I've been in business all my life. I understand how that works. You know, when you're in business, you take risk, you invest money, you have to build things, you have to spend lots of money, lots of time to do this. And if the risk is too great, you don't do it. And that's what's happening to small business. Small business is the job creator in this country. And small business is getting hammered. I mean, I've talked to small business people all the time. Their fines from, you know, OSHA, their EPA fines, or, you know, their MoDOT fines. I mean, it's just on and on and on. And these are big fines, that they're being levied on them. And they're killing us. They are killing our jobs.
Absolutely. Sometime when we get done with this, sometime after August 7th, Lisa, we're going to do a whole show on the Hour of Truth on MoDOT. I mean, there's an agency that just galls me right there.
Just talk to the truckers. I mean, I talked to a lady the other day, and she lives over in the Boot Hill region of the 8th District. They've had a trucking business over there for 40-some years. They have two terminals, ran a good business for years and years and years. I talked to her the other day. She was in tears, and I don't blame her. She was, you know, she's about ready to retire, and the last few years, because of the trucking and how tough it's been, they've had to, you know, they couldn't make any money. They've gone in debt. So here they are at the end of a lifetime of working in the trucking business. They don't have any money. They don't have anything to show for it. And they have debt now.
Yeah.
And they're ready to retire. They should be retiring, you know, with something, but it's all been taken away from them just because of the fines and the regulations and the gas prices and all the rest that is just absolutely hammering our businesses.
Yeah, and here's an agency, for God's sake, that is accountable to nobody. They don't answer to the legislature, even for appropriations.
No.
Man, it's incredible to me. Okay, we're getting close to having to wrap up here, Bob. So what I want you to do right now is tell this audience, when you arrive in Washington, D.C. in 2013, what two bills will you have in the top of the stack in your briefcase?
Well, the first one that I've talked about, I talk about it on my flyers, the Congressional Reform Act of 2012 would be the 2013 Congressional Reform Act would be an immediate 10% pay cut for Congress. Don't think they should have any tenure, no pension. They should no longer vote themselves a pay raise. They should participate in Social Security just like we do, and they can purchase their own retirement plan like we do, and they lose their health care system. That's, you know, that special health care system they have, and they must equally abide by all the laws that we abide by. And I think we have to change the makeup of this Congress and get away from this elitist kind of a club that we have in Congress. That I think they come back and tell their constituents at home one thing, and then they laugh all the way back to Washington D.C. and have a drink with their buddies and slap each other on the back about how they've fooled their constituents back home for another 2 or 6 years. It just, we've absolutely got to break that up and have people that are closer to the real world, closer to the private sector, closer to how this country is supposed to work, and get them in Washington for a while and then come back home. We need to have term limits in this country. I mean, people are making careers out of this, and it's time to stop that.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on that term limits thing. You know, when I get you into Washington, as long as you keep talking the way you're talking right now, I think I want to keep you there till I die.
Well, I appreciate that. And I've had that position a long time myself. It's like people can vote them out, you know, and we don't need term limits because people can vote them out if they go wrong. But and really, I don't have a problem with that, except they get so tied in with the media, and it's so easy for them to control what their voters, what the constituents out there really understand. And after running for Congress a couple of times here, I do support some kind of term limits to force them out. This 30, 40 years of being in Congress and continuing to vote for this kind of stuff, I don't know any other way to stop it.
I'm just laughing about, sometimes I'd come home from work at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and just for a little comedy relief, I would turn on C-SPAN and watch old Bird up there giving some kind of a speech or something. You remember? Poor old guy could hardly talk.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, wheel him in there.
Yep.
But it really, they really are. You know, once you're in there, you're able to get that money. You know, you work with the media. I could go on and on about the media.
Yep.
And how controlled the media is and why it's controlled that way. But it's all about money. You know, these politicians spend a lot on, every time they run for re-election, they spend a lot with the media, and the media wants that money.
Well, that's another show that I think we'd ought to pick up as we expand our lineup is, you know, once a week, I think some host that doesn't do anything all week long except just work on his one-hour show ought to take three or four stories from the media and spend an hour exposing the truth on those three or four stories. It is absolutely amazing how off kilter the media is in this country now.
Well, we had, like here in the 8th District, then these papers never say anything, never expose any of this stuff about Mrs. Emerson. I mean, it was in the New York Times about 3 months ago about how her daughters were lobbyists for GM and Monsanto. And the New York makes the New York Times, and they didn't even mention the fact that she's married to a former union lobbyist. He was a union lobbyist for about 12 years. She's been married to him about that long, and she sponsored that union pension bailout bill, about $165 billion bailout to those union pension funds that her husband works for. Those unions that would specifically benefit from that bailout, but yet, you know, it wasn't talked about. It was on Fox News. They had a story about it, but the media in this district never even talked about it. So it is just absolutely so frustrating to see the kind of stuff that's out there in some of the national media, but it never a word is mentioned here.
That's absolutely right. I'm tell you, and you know, you're talking to an ex Kane man. I was deep in Kane when, and so I know how heartbroken I was when the media destroyed that man. I've got it in for the media myself.
Well, another thing, you know, the television media, I've never known them to mention my name, ever.
Yeah.
Ever. I've never known them to mention my name in this race. I mean, you have, TV stations in Cape Girardeau. They ran a story the last election about how the Tea Party would affect the congressional race here in the 8th District. I was the only Tea Party candidate in the race. My name wasn't even mentioned. They mentioned Mrs. Emerson, and they mentioned the Democrat running, and they never even talked about the Tea Party candidate. But the whole story was, how is the Tea Party going to affect the race?
And that
it's mind-blowing.
And that, dear listeners, is another thing that we've been preaching here since we started, and that is, are we grassroots conservatives / Tea Party, are we going to keep our word? We sent these Billy Longs and these Joanne Emersons and these Todd Akins to Washington, D.C. with a clear message, of what their mission was, and with a clear message that if they didn't get the job done, we'd fire them as quick as we put them there, and we'd replace them with somebody that would get the job done. And are we going to hold that line?
Exactly. And you know, while the Tea Party is still alive and well, you know, there's so much more they could be doing. You know, but don't get me wrong, there are some groups here in this district that are doing fantastic work, but you know, there's others that kind of want to sit on the sidelines, and I just it's time for people to get involved. I mean, the election is August 7th. The way you get people elected is you help them. You get them, get sign locations, give them money, find places for them to speak, talk about them to your friends, do everything you can to get the word out about them, get involved in their campaign. It's not sit back and wave the Constitution around and wait till the general election.
That's right. That's right. I got about 3 minutes left for you, Bob. You can have it all to tell us where we get in touch with you, tell us how to find you on the web, and tell us how to give you money.
Well, I'm Bob Parker. I'm running for Congress here in the 8th District. My website is electbobparker.com. if you'd like to donate some money to my campaign. We're a grassroots campaign. We need money badly. You can get on there, hit the donation page, and I would certainly appreciate anything you could give. You know, $10 on up, it all counts. I'm a businessman. I've still married to the same woman I married when I was 19 years old. We've been happily married, raised two beautiful daughters. We have five grandchildren. I've worked in the private sector all my life. I'm not a politician. I'm just somebody that has, fought for property rights over the years. We fought Agenda 21 and tried to expose that over the years. We're just red-blooded Americans. We're pro-life, pro-gun conservatives, and we're taking the fight to the next level, and that's this race for Congress. And we're running against one of the most poorly rated Republicans by the Heritage Foundation in Congress. She's 11th from the bottom, and a lot of people don't realize that. So do your research on this race. You can get on Google, get on my Facebook page, Bob Parker for Congress. Get on Google, do some research, do your research, get educated, and if you like what you see, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, send me an email on my website. You can contact us there. Bob@electbobparker.com is my email. Send me an email, tell me you want to help, what you can do, tell your friends that live in the 8th District. We have to take our country back. My campaign slogan is Take America Back, and that's what I'm all about, folks. We've got to do it this election.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate you coming along tonight. I've really, really, really enjoyed this, and I tell you what, I'm gonna keep your phone number here. I'd love to have you back sometime.
That'd be great, Dave. Thanks so much for having me on. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you, and good luck to you.
Okay, God bless. Bye bye.
Wow, what a talk, hey Lisa.
It's amazing, you know. And I was thinking the whole time while you were interviewing Bob and he was speaking on the different issues, it's a great opportunity for the people out there to get their mind wrapped around where the candidates really are. And there is such a clear delineation between the constitutional-loving Tea Party-type candidates and the establishment candidates in this election. In every interview that we've had, it's just been very clear.
Absolutely. And even the interviews we haven't had, huh?
Yes.
Especially the interviews we haven't had.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Now, a couple of caveats here on what we've discussed. Then we're going to take a break. Then you and I are going to come back and wrap up. I was there nodding my head in the right direction and agreeing with Bob about how much we didn't owe our congressman health benefits and all this money. And he said something earlier in the campaign about people collecting government checks. And I got to tell everybody here probably knows this, I'm a 25-year retired military man. I get a government check, and I appreciate that, and I get government health care, and I appreciate that. So I just want to use that to qualify the fact, while I'm sitting here shaking my head in the right direction for all these things. I don't want anyone to believe I'm a hypocrite, but I agree with everything that Bob said, and that's just the way life goes. We're going to take a quick break. Lisa and I will wrap up with a short review of what we've talked about here tonight, and then we'll talk about some upcoming Missouri Grassroots Radio stuff.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
All right, Lisa, that was, I feel the tide is turning here. Vaughn calls me an eternal optimist, but I really feel it. I feel like we're going to make some inroads this election. How about you?
Well, it's just so nice to see that in almost all of these districts that there is such a strong grassroots candidate in each primary.
Yes.
You know, that, I mean, it really is about, I read a lot of stories in the St. Louis Political Buzz Examiner about these political issues, and they're, I often write about the grassroots versus the establishment candidates. They're really, this election really does seem to be a turning point. You know, there are grassroots candidates springing up in almost every race.
It is, and I think it's all coming together. I think a lot of voters, and we're about to find out whether it's the majority. I just keep getting a feeling that it might be the majority of voters are more learned now than ever before about the economy and about what the government economy is costing us and what the government economy is doing to us and what the bureaucracy is doing to us. And more importantly, I believe now that the majority of Americans know that the press is lying to them every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, this is Missouri Grassroots Radio, 347-677-1835. It's Monday, Memorial Day. We've just finished the Hour of Truth. We'll do this again on Thursday. I don't even have it in front of me here who we're talking to on Thursday, but it'll be the same kind of show as tonight. We'll vet another district in Missouri where there is a primary. But for now, we're going to talk about Tuesday nights with Vaughn Carricker. Vaughn talks with various people around the state who are immersed in grassroots efforts, and I'm talking real grassroots efforts, veterans organizations, foster care organizations, people who are working down in the streets at the real grassroots and are feeling the hurt from the current government economy. She calls that the Show Me Common Sense Hour. That's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock and every Tuesday, Vaughn Carricker. Then what happens on Wednesdays, Lisa?
Well, Wednesday we're going to introduce a couple new segments. We're going to have Tom Martz from the Locke and Smith Foundation. You know, if you've heard me on Culture Vigilante Hour before, I have a real issue with legislation that I call Yankee Doodle legislation, which does absolutely nothing but advance the electoral promise for certain candidates and not advance the freedom and liberty of them. Tom Martz is going to help me introduce Yankee Doodle legislation alerts. We'll have Bill Tennessee from the St. Louis Tea Party to talk about what's going on with the St. Louis Tea Party and in our Patriot Spotlight. Bob McCarty is a nationally known blogger and author, and he's just written a new book, 3 Days in August. We'll have him on to talk about his book. And we're going to have Ben Evans from the Heritage Foundation. He's got a new arm in the Heritage Foundation to help grassroots monitor congressional issues, so we'll have him on as well.
Great, great. That's the every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. That is Lisa with the Culture Vigilante Hour. Lisa talks about the culture that is conservative America, and it is not just a political movement, it is an entire culture. We appreciate that, Lisa. And then on Friday nights, always fun, we have the Missouri Roundtable. Sometimes we have guests, sometimes we don't. Sometimes just us hosts and other Missouri grassroots people get together, and we'll pick a topic or two, and we'll kick it around, and we'll invite callers to call in and just voice their opinions, and we'll get as many opinions going as we can. So that's Monday and Thursday, Hour of Truth, Tuesday, Show Me Common Sense, Wednesday, Culture Vigilante, and Friday is the MGC, Missouri Grassroots Radio Roundtable. Now, Lisa, on June the 4th, we are going to move this time slot from 8 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Am I right there?
I think that is correct, Dave.
Monday, June the 4th, we're going to move this time slot that you're listening to right now from 8 o'clock to 7 o'clock. This has actually been requested by some people, some hosts included, because 8 o'clock is a less convenient time than 7 o'clock. But it's been actually asked for by some of our listeners as well. And most importantly, here's the reason why we're doing this. Aside from the fact that what you want is important to us, we're growing. We're growing. We're going to add on. I have a million ideas, as I know Lisa and Vaughn does, of things that we should add on here. But Agenda 21 is something we want to get added on right away with maybe an hour a week. We've talked about some other things. We talked about one or two things here tonight as possibilities. But the thing is that as we grow, as we expand and add things on, we don't want to be dragging you listeners on till 10 o'clock at night. If we started at 8, for example, with a Culture Vigilante Hour on Wednesdays, and then we had after that the Agenda 21 Hour, and we started at 8 o'clock, you'd be stuck here till 10 o'clock. And so we don't want that for you. We want you to be able to come in at 7 and get out by 9, even if you have two different shows that you want to try to catch that night. So remember, Monday the 4th of June, we'll be moving this thing to 7 o'clock. Lisa, you went to a interesting little forum this week. Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, well, several of the grassroots groups, along with the PACDERMS and the Central Committee in St. Charles County, hosted a candidate forum for the statewide candidates. It was another great opportunity for people to come and vet the candidates and see where their perspective was on the issues. We had both the gubernatorial candidates, Randles and Spence, were there. Had the second congressional candidates, Ann Wagner and Randy Jody, was there. Most of the candidates from across the state, Secretary of State candidates and state rep candidates as well. It was a very great opportunity to sit there and listen to the issues and get to know the candidates a little bit better.
Good, good. We're not now. Missouri Grassroots Coalition is a I'm going to put in a plug for MGC here now, Lisa. Missouri Grassroots Coalition is a statewide organization made up of as many patriot groups in this state as care to join. And when I say patriot groups, I'm talking about 912, I'm talking about fair tax groups, I'm talking about PACDERM groups, I'm talking about county Republican groups, I'm talking about, well, you name it. What else am I talking? Tea Party groups, any group, property rights groups. We got several property rights groups in there. But these groups, and this is important, folks, these groups maintain their autonomy. Missouri Grassroots Coalition exercises no governing authority at all. We are there simply to facilitate cooperation and coordination between the groups. Imagine you have a group, a property rights group in no-name town, Missouri, somewhere out in the rural area, and you've got 14 people in your group, and there's something that's important to you. And so you send someone up to Jefferson City to wander the halls of Jefferson City and try to get support for your cause. And you walk into some legislator's office and you say, hey, I'm here representing 14 people. And what happens is someone nods very politely and listens to you for about 10 minutes and then forgets your name as soon as you walk out the door. What if you could be represented by someone who takes your cause to Jefferson City and says, hey, I represent 150,000 people. You'd get a little bit more notice in Jefferson City. And that's what Missouri Grassroots Coalition wants to do for you. The other thing, and this really excites me, is you're down here in Ozark or St. Jean or Lee Summit, Missouri, and you've got a problem with the city council or the county commission, some issue that's really rubbing against grassroots freedom, and you need only make one phone call to Missouri Grassroots Coalition and get 30,000, 40,000 emails to that county commissioner about your issue. So think about bringing your group into the Missouri Grassroots Coalition. This is Dave. I'm here with Lisa, and we've enjoyed having a talk with you tonight. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio, and we'll talk to you next time. Thank you very much for tuning in. Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org Check out our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.